We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back at quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, and it is time for Ask Dustin. Greg Pickle not here today. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. I will be answering the questions. I'll be picking out a winner of a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. Jim Galante over here will be asking the questions. And yeah, as I mentioned, the best question as determined by me, I wield all the power today. We'll get a bottle of wine from tailgatewine.com. If you're not familiar with those guys, you have to check them out. Tailgatewine.com, some barbecue and wine pairings. The blue and white wine gift box is outstanding for that Penn State fan in your life. You can check it all of it out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. And I can't wait to give one away.
There you go. And don't forget the wine people. Those are the folks hosting the event on Saturday night where there's barbecue, there's wine. It's at in Berwick, Freeze Farm Winery. And you just go to tailgatewine.com. There's a nice button there that'll take you right where you need to be. All right. You ready to answer questions?
I think so.
The power's already gone to your head, but yeah. We'll move forward anyway. Andy from Falls Church asks, people keep talking about the elite talent Michigan has this year. When I look at their composite ranking for the last 4 years, though, they have the same number of five stars as Penn State, only a 0.37 higher ranking per player. Andy's got to get a life if he's doing that kind of math. What accounts for this worship of Michigan football and snubbing of Penn State football? Spoken like a true Nittany Lion there.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, it's a fair question. I think, you know, Michigan and Penn State have been closer on the recruiting trail than you probably hear. And I think just the Jim Harbaugh effect and the belief, given his background, what he was able to accomplish at San Diego, at Stanford, when he was with the San Francisco 49ers, there's just the belief inherently that Michigan is always going to be ready to turn the corner. They have elite talent, but it's not overwhelmingly better than Penn State. I think there are some areas where Penn State has recruited a little better. I think probably Michigan has gotten, if I'm just guessing, a little bit more in that five-star talent type of players, your Rayshon Gary types that Penn State's missed on. But even Penn State can counter with Micah Parsons and Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon. So, yeah, I think they've recruited at roughly the same level. I just think on a national level, there's just a deeper belief that Jim Harbaugh is going to get more out of it than James Franklin. Fair or unfair, that still holds true now, considering Michigan was picked to win the Big Ten. And they're not without questions. You know, they are replacing some players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They lose Devin Bush and Rayshon Gary and David Long and Chase Winovich. A lot of production is gone from that Michigan defense. They're going to have to answer that question. They bring back a lot on the offensive side of the ball. They have an established quarterback in Shea Patterson. There's a belief that Josh Gattis and Jim Harbaugh's willingness to cede control to him is going to get the offense over the top. They just got to show it, and I'm not ready to believe that Michigan's better than Ohio State. They've got to prove that to me. If I were voting in that preseason poll, I don't care that Ryan Day is a new coach. I don't care that Justin Fields is coming in. They have a control over Michigan. They need to be shown otherwise. So I'm not I'm sort of on the same page as far as what he's thinking about Michigan's elite talent and what they can do with it.
Agreed. It's Ohio State until you knock them off, Michigan. All right, this one's interesting. Tom from Tuncanic says, and I'm not sure exactly when he sent the question in, listen to Dwight Gault recording at Lift for Life. Great praise for almost everyone. Then carefully listen to his answer to the question about Matos. What do you think? And by the way, I did go back and re-listen to it. What's interesting, last week we did the Dwight Gault press conference, and I'm handing you my note sheet, Dustin. You see where Matos is? And I crossed out that we're not going to use his quote on Matos because it was just like a quick, essentially I did, he said, he's worked hard this summer, good, good. I think he's going to come in good shape.
Yeah.
That was the answer. Well, I think we know now why.
I think that question probably came in before James Franklin announced that Yetur Gross-Matos and Journey Brown were both suspended away from team activities until, I believe, August 1st. I don't think that Dwight Gault was in any position to heap praise on Penn State's best player at that point in time. What wasn't obvious then, it should be obvious now that Matos hasn't been around, and Dwight Gault tried his best to walk that fine line of not giving it away without getting in trouble with the boss by ranting and raving about how great Yetur Gross-Matos is. Sticky position for Dwight Gault, and maybe didn't rehearse that in his mind as much as he probably should have.
Exactly. But kudos to Tom for picking that out.
Yes. Yeah.
The interesting thing, like I said, I showed you my note. I had he's talked about 8 or 9 different players, and Matos, I didn't even give it a second thought. I just said, oh, not a good quote.
And this is what it's very hard to sit here and whether you're writing it or speaking it, tell Penn State fans something that they don't know. So like in that situation, you know, Tom is thinking, it's Tom, right? Tom from Titanic.
Yes.
Is thinking like, I'm listening so hard to what Dwight Gault is saying, I'm not thinking enough probably about what he isn't saying. So very, very observant. And now we know why.
All right, let's move on. This is Bill from Philadelphia. Hey, Greg, how do you read Penn State's aggressive strategy when it comes to JUCOs? My theory is that if you strike out with elite recruits, it's more advantageous to pursue these physically mature players over long-term high school projects.
I mean, I think it's dicey, right? So in theory, somebody who spent a year at Lackawanna College should be in better position to contribute than somebody who is coming right out of high school. That should be true. It's just not always as cut and dry as that. But I think what we're seeing now is that Penn State clearly has a belief in what Lackawanna is doing. In some of these cases, like Jaquan Brisker, who came from Gateway High School, had some familiarity with them as high school players anyway, so can kind of put two and two together what they knew about them in high school versus the developments that they've made at Lackawanna, having seen them on campus, like in the case of Norval Black, who came out of nowhere to get an offer and to commit. Jair Brown is a defensive back that they really liked. I think you're just going to start seeing the fruits of that recruiting labor. And, but it's just not always, you know, a year of junior college. How much better is that than your senior year in high school? How well are those coaches doing preparing you for the next level? Are you coming in with better weight room habits? Are you coming in more physically developed? If so, how much more so? You know, we've only really seen offensive linemen in the James Franklin era come in. So this is new territory. We don't yet know how prepared these JUCO guys are going to be, but in theory, they should be better prepared. Am I answering the question? I don't really even know.
I think so. But let's also not overstate it. There's going to be 30 recruits this year, and how many? Two or three JUCOs? It's not a significant number. It's more than we're used to. And I think every JUCO has his own story. Was it academics? Was he just not physically ready when he came out of high school? And I hate to put a blanket statement on all JUCOs.
The JUCO rank can be a good collect-all, a good admission that what you saw from high school, and what you said is exactly right. There's all kinds of different ways and reasons you can end up at a junior college that don't have to do with you're just not good enough. So Tyrell Chavis, by the way, is a JUCO success story for exactly that reason. He was never coming in as a guy who was going to be an All-American, but he was pretty ready when he got here, and he contributed. He was part of that rotation for 2 years, and is a good example of how you can benefit from that.
All right. Speaking of JUCOs, Dan from Mountaintop asks, are the redshirt rules the same for the JUCO transfers? Specifically, could Wigan play in 4 games this season and still keep his 2 years of eligibility?
If you haven't used your red shirt yet, then I don't think that's a high school versus transfer situation. It's do you have a red shirt or do you not have a red shirt? If you can still use the red shirt, then yeah, the 4 games will apply. So I don't think there's going to be any difference there. So Wigan can play in 4 games and still keep that red shirt. I'm 99.7% positive.
Yeah, there. I don't think we've talked about it, but I believe that when you hear them say, oh, well, 3 years to play two, yeah. meaning they have a red shirt.
It's all about whether you've used a red shirt or not.
I assume it's got to be the same way.
Yeah.
All right. John from Arlington, Virginia. Shouldn't Ohio State's recruiting have fallen off a bit after Urban Meyer retired? It doesn't seem to be the case. Why hasn't the prospect of playing for a first-time head coach hurt their perception in the eyes of recruits?
It would seem that Ryan Day and his staff are as relatable as they've ever been. And I think there's a deep belief in their program and on the recruiting trail among prospects that offensive train is going to keep on running for a number of reasons, including the fact that they were 3-0 and they put up a lot of points under Ryan Day last year. There was almost that like, oh man, Urban's coming back, because you didn't want to disrupt what they were doing offensively. I think he's got a well-earned reputation being an innovator on the offensive side of the ball. They've got Justin Fields coming in. They're still loaded with talent. They still have the tradition. They still have the facilities. It's not like there's no drop off from Urban, who, you know, is a national championship caliber coach. He's been in that conversation all the time. But there's also sort of that imagine what the possibilities are now with a young innovator at head coach. Like, think about Sean McVay as a coach in the NFL. Young innovators are where college football is going. And I think Ryan Day, it falls under that category.
What you also have there as a situation is the honeymoon period of a new coach coming in at an elite program. If there's going to be a fall off in recruiting, it's going to be because they were disappointing this season. If they lose to Michigan and Penn State, or if they lose three games this year, that's when you might see a drop off in the recruiting.
And let me add this too. Ohio State decisively hired Ryan Day after the Urban Meyer news. They didn't flirt with three big name coaches and didn't come to an agreement. They didn't open this extensive search. They went right to Ryan Day, which I think sent the message, we believe in this guy and so should you. And I think there's good reason to believe that Ryan Day and the new coach smell thing, like there's some momentum because of that. Now, you know, you Penn State fans are familiar that you're going to have to at some point in time prove that you're not just the new guy, that you can win football games.
Right, and he's been in the program. There's just that feeling they're just going to keep on going.
Yeah.
All right, Dustin, you've got the power. Time to make a decision.
Whoever asked the question about Michigan, why they get so much credit for having an elite talent when they're just not that much different than Penn State. That's Andy from Falls Church, I believe, right? So that's my choice. Andy from Falls Church, a winner of Tailgate Wine.
That's it for our show. We'll see you next time on the Keystone Sports Network.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.